beautiful day. Give a shout out to all of you listening in all over the world. Squamish, Seychelles, Nova Scotia, Wyoming, East 66th Street. Good luck, thinking of you. West 54th Street, good luck, thinking of you too. It's Orthopedic Heaven in New York and Long Beach, wherever you may be. Thanks for being here, folks. As usual, there's lots going on. I'm going to open up with a piece from Rebel Voices. And this goes out to our community, perhaps yours too, to all the hospital workers.
We're hospital workers out on strike, struggling to make a decent living, fighting the bosses and the scabs, and we are not about to give in. We're demanding living wages. We gotta get a raise, we gotta get a raise. Our wages are outrageous. We gotta get a raise now. Oh, we're out rocking on the picket line, and we're ready to keep walking. We are going to be a parent, carrying on the picket signs till the management sits down to do some talking. When the year is singing solidarity forever, yes, the union makes us strong. With our voices proudly raised in harmony together, come and sing our union song. We shall overcome the opposition of the hospital employers. We shall not be moved by their injunctions and their high-priced downtown lawyers. Our enthusiasm won't diminish. We are in the battle till the finish, till the bosses hear what we are saying, realize that we're not playing. We'll stay out, stay young, stay healthy, and the cold and heat, into the wind and the rain and the weather and the pain and the voices on our tires, hurrying unit is going to prevail, we'll stand with hand in hand, we will breathe, we'll stand with hand together, and the unit fight, and the unit fight, and the unit fight, and the unit fight, we will unite to wage the fight for bread and justice. Hey! Yeah, hey indeed, hey indeed.
That goes out, whoops, that goes out to the hospital workers everywhere. And for that matter, to all workers, this is Labor Day weekend. For many people, it's just a good time to have 3 days for the kids around here. They're getting ready to start school. In Lander, they already started. That's Wyoming. And but there's a lot to think about, a lot to think about, and especially in these days. So, here to think about a lot, but not necessarily labor, is my first guest, and that is Derek Moore. And Derek has been on the Derek is no virgin, which actually is rather relevant considering why you're here this time. But he's been here many times for many things because he is the creator and lead singer of Midas Digs, and he's done a lot of theater. But this time he's here for a play that is closing tonight. Tonight is your last chance. And I've heard other people say it on the radio, and I will echo it. It is well worth seeing. It's not a kid's play. I should not the content, not anything about it, but it's a fantastic. It's Harold Pinter's Betrayal, and you can check it out. Don't read too much though, because if you're gonna go, because wouldn't you say? I mean, for me, it was a total surprise. So I knew Harold Pinter. Okay, it's gonna be something classic, but I had no
idea
what that was coming. But, well, we might as well tell people because it starts right off with that. When you get your program guide,
yeah.
If you look at the dates, what's going on?
So, well, Sen will tell you, if you go to the show, Sen will tell you this before. Sen's the director, Sen Incavo. That it's, at the time it was written in 1978, it was avant-garde because it goes, basically it goes backward. And it's not something we're terribly familiar with, but we've seen it a number of times in the past decades since then. Yeah. But that was pretty new to have something go the wrong direction.
Well, you know, I read one critic who said, don't let's be saying backwards because life happens. However, the sequence of these
is
placed.
So it, and it doesn't, it's a strange play. It doesn't go, every scene isn't directly before the one, you know, that was before it. How do you say that? It's like Back to the Future. But some of them actually follow immediately the later mm-hmm. that day, and then mm-hmm. it jumps back 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might go later that day and then jump back two mm-hmm. more years. So you have to follow your program. But knowing that makes the things that you find out, strangely enough, you think you'd know the end of the story at the beginning of the play.
Right.
But the things you find out as you go backward mm-hmm. are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out how the people got to the point where they made those decisions. And that's a really fascinating journey to take.
It is amazing. And what's interesting is at the very beginning. So, Derek, who is your character?
My character's name is Jerry. So the play consists of three mm-hmm. characters, Jerry, Robert, and Emma. Jerry and Robert are best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert and Emma are married.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can tell from the title, mm-hmm. a lot of betrayal is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So the fascinating interrelationship of these three, just the way Harold Pinter put it together is
brilliant.
It's very fascinating. It's not your average sort of having an affair story. It's just much different.
And another thing is there's not just one betrayal.
Yeah.
There are several. And there's only three characters, and yet there's betrayal keeps happening. But it's fascinating. And I found that I had to, here comes one of the betrayals now. All right, here comes Emma. Emma's going to grab a microphone and join us. And hi, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Katrina Godders, and I play Emma in Betrayal.
Right. And Katrina just got here because there's a bridge closure, or just busy?
I don't know if the bridge was like elevated because somebody was going under it,
oh.
but it was backed up to Fred Meyer. So
wow.
I went on the little bridge.
Ah, ooh, you're smart.
Yeah.
See, that's a local for you. Good job. She came from Seaside, so she could. I had the problem getting in from Brownsmead. Well, thank you for making that effort and getting here because I don't know whether you were able to listen.
I was.
But I was just saying that there are only three characters, but there are many betrayals. And perhaps amongst the characters and within the characters themselves is what I was feeling. Although I would love to have been able to see that play at least one more time. Once, now that I've sort of got a story, because there's so much, the script is.
We did actually have a gentleman come last night for the second show who'd been there the first night.
Yeah, I think that was the out-of-towner who was sitting next to me. He loved it.
Yeah.
You know what the other thing is? It sounds like it's really heavy, but actually, and you were mentioning this because I went to see it on opening night Wednesday. It's just this one weekend, folks. This is, did we tell them? This is at the Liberty Theater McTavish Room. The entrance is on 12th Street, and you can probably go to libertyastoria.org right now, check it out, or call Sen, who is the director, mm-hmm. is not here because he's at the box office. So that is 503-325-5922, I think. So you can give a call and reserve your ticket, get your ticket. It's not a huge space. I'm not sure how many chairs are available. But
it's probably going to sell out because it did opening night.
It was fantastic.
It was last night. So
it was it? Yeah.
Get your tickets early if you want to see the show.
And you really should. So if you're listening and you haven't gotten your tickets yet and you were thinking, I'll just get it at the door, that usually works. And there might be room, but I wouldn't bet on it because it was that was very impressive. Opening night, full house. You know?
Thank you.
You were talking, though, Katrina, about being a little surprised about the audience laughing.
Yeah.
Well, that guy who came back last night, he and I were laughing a lot during the play.
Yeah.
So I do want to let folks know, we've already told you that this is not for children, but there is a lot of humor in the play.
Although we wonder sometimes if a little bit of it might be nervous laughter because, you know, this is kind of, these are scenes that people have maybe been in real life, unfortunately, uh-huh. and it might be kind of like, because it's all too familiar, and that's how you deal with that. But then there are actually a few things that we didn't think about in rehearsal being funny, but you're like, okay, that is actually hysterical.
So when you rehearsed in the McTavish room, mm-hmm. it was without an audience. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think,
how does
you know,
that
when,
work?
When you read the whole thing over, your sense of the play is as a big picture. And as a big picture, it seems like a very serious play. We probably haven't told them it's British, so it's also very, it's like upper class British sort of.
Yes.
So it's also very
dry.
Besides being serious, it's also very straight kind of and British.
Mm-hmm.
But so we just didn't see it as very funny. But when people were laughing and responding, we could, as we were acting, we could be like, actually, I could see how this is funny. I just didn't think of it.
So for those people who aren't familiar with Pinter, those who are already know this, Sen said it beautifully. There were three human characters, and there were two other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Pause and silence.
And silence.
Yeah.
I really like that because it was definitely very impressive. But it just occurred to me, since you hadn't played before an audience and there was laughter, which you weren't expecting, did that sort of throw you off at all? Or?
It did at first. I remember opening night, and the very first scene is just Derek and I. And I remember, I mean, within like the first minute, people were laughing. And I remember being like, they're my brain is like, they're laughing. Why are they laughing? But you can't like break face. You know, you have to stay in character. But I think I probably made some sort of eye expression at Derek that he probably picked up on. It was like, what
when
the?
When you prep a comedy, you rehearse laughter pauses. So you wait. You don't want to deliver a line if there's laughter because you want people to hear it.
Yeah.
We didn't rehearse that at all because
no.
We didn't expect it. So we were finding ourselves waiting. And so last night, we were much more prepared.
Mm.
I don't think we've said yet, the other actor, Stephen Wood.
Yes.
So Katrina and myself and Stephen are the three actors and directed by Sen and Cavo.
And Stephen used to do acting around here. Then he disappeared into the woodwork. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That just came out. Stephen Wood. And I believe he works in the woods across the river.
You are correct.
Also. And he's a forest ranger or working. And he may have even been a KMUN programmer at one point. I'm not sure. But it's delightful to have him come back.
Yeah.
And one of the things which visually was almost blinkable, thank goodness we're sitting so close, which is a gift, folks, a real gift that you are. How many feet? 10 feet?
Oh, if you're in the front row, you're 3 to 4 feet away from us.
Oh, it's only? Okay.
Yeah.
I was in the front row. I loved it. That's,
Very
so,
close.
What was I got? I just lost.
You were talking about Stephen.
Yeah. The fact that Derek and Stephen, if they were facing the back, it would be hard to tell them apart.
Oh,
and
really?
They are not.
Yes.
You know, your average build. They're both quite slim and trim, but
Apparently Emma has a type.
Apparently Emma does. And that's the other part.
They have a type.
They are best friends. They were best friends. That's for you to decide.
Yes.
Emma, Katrina Goddard, does so much with her face. These incredibly subtle expressions that tell you so much. And that, I'm sure, I mean, that was, I don't know whether Pinter wrote that in or whether Sen directed it that way, or what do you think?
I think maybe Pinter didn't write it in. It's not like written in italics on the side. Sen certainly helps, and he's very good at directing or sort of suggesting and then allowing you to get to a place that feels natural in a way that he would like for it to be. But a lot of it is, you know, I have a scene with Stephen that he does most of the talking and I don't really do a lot, but we're both on stage the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just stationary, and just listening to Stephen do the lines over and over again, you can kind of put yourself in that, if I was in this situation, you know, what would my face do? And it's not an unfamiliar kind of awkwardness. And you rehearse enough that where you start to realize, like, oh, this is what a normal face would do at this time. And then it just...
Not every face can do that, though. Your face is quite amazing because I wouldn't have expected it. I told you that the other night looking at you. But so I give that to the audience, too. If you, I like to sit close. First of all, I'm short, but also it's nice to have, and I was very glad to be right up there. So how did it feel to do this play, you all being such good friends?
Well, we actually were asked quite a while ago to do this, and immediately we wanted to do it, but we just didn't have it in the schedule to do it. So Sen pushed it off. I think we were originally going to do it in May.
Pushed
it till September, but we were like, absolutely, let's do it. I'd never heard the script, but when I read it, in my mind, it's an actor's dream, because actors like to take really good scripts, and a really good script will give you enough bones that you can enter into subtext and get into that deeper layer that you do with your body language. And so this play doesn't have a lot of movement and action.
No.
So there is an enormous amount of body language.
Not a lot of props either.
And so that
although, to be fair, he did write quite a bit of drinking into it.
Yeah.
Strangely, the very few things that are, you know, in italics that aren't said by the actors is like, you know, pours more wine, drinks. So it is kind of, there is a little funny element in that.
Yeah.
They were all, it was the 70s.
Yes. You know.
And the other thing, which is famous with Harold Pinter, is called the Pinter pause. And unlike other scripts, which say a beat or, you know, pause, he actually writes the word pause into the script. And there's probably three or four per page. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. So that's what you were saying earlier when Sen said that the other characters are pause and silence, because there's a lot of just silence, which creates, we found, this incredible tension that it's hard to find. Often if you're not speaking, people think you're losing a line or that it's going really slow. The play's not very long. The entire play is only an hour and a half. We have a lot of...
I don't think I could have survived anymore. It's an emotional roller coaster.
So the pause is really a character in itself.
It's an excellent script. And the three actors, my guests, Derek Moore and Katrina Goddard and Stephen Wood, who's probably working somewhere, and Sen Incavo is the director. It's all happening tonight, last night at the McTavish Room. And this, by the way...
it's at 7 p.m., by the way.
Thank you.
Doors open at 6:30.
And some folks... And it's open seating. And some folks are used to seeing Reader's Theater there. This is not Reader's Theater. I don't see how they could... I mean, it could be done that way, but it is so powerful.
Yeah.
The way that each time the two actors, and then sometimes all three, the tension is palpable. And, It's very British, though, you're right.
It is.
Yeah, we had originally kind of, for just a second, thought about doing it as readers and then realized very quickly we can't do it right doing it that way. It needs to be, we need to look at each other. And
yeah.
And Sen is calling this the inaugural
Liberty Players. I like that.
Because he's been working towards fully staged, memorized plays for a while.
Right. Well, there's a good one to start on because fully staged is rather meager in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a simple set.
Simple set, which is good. Plenty of room for the actors. Again, 503-325-5922, or go on over to the Liberty box office, which is 12th and Commercial, and get those tickets for tonight, 7 p.m., Harold Pinter's Betrayal. Thank you so much. Continue to break your legs.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
I look forward to whatever's coming next. Who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And coming up right now, I have some music from Curtis Salgado, and he will be part of the Cannon Beach Music Festival. You're going to hear more about that. That's October 3rd. We'll hear more about it. But in the meantime, this goes out to all our beautiful dog friends.
Wish I could read the minds of women. Wish I had gills for swimming. Wish I had movie star looks. I wish I knew every trick in the book. I'd like to feel first love again and be 20 years younger. But the greatest wish I want to come true, I want my dog to live longer. Wish I was the king of rock and roll. Wish I was cool and in the know. And I wish I'd rope blowing in the wind. I'd like to see my late mother again. I'd like to stop poverty, save this world from hunger. But the greatest wish, oh, I wanna come through. I want my dog to live longer. I want my dog to live longer. 'Cause when he goes, I'll be blue. And if I had the power, oh, I'd have him live as long as me and you. 'Cause God's got a reason for everything. And in the Lord I trust. But this ain't right. God needs to see the light. 'Cause dogs don't live long enough. He cheers me up, oh, when I'm sad. He's the best friend I've ever had. And I don't care where his nose has been. I let him lick my face again and again. His love is unconditional. And that just makes me stronger. So the greatest wish I want to come true. I want my dog to live longer. Oh, the greatest wish I want to come true. I want my dog to live longer.
Yeah, that is Curtis Salgado and... Ooh. Boy, that's a new album. It's a 2018 Alligator Records release. However, we here at Coast Community Radio received it December 27th, 2017. That's pretty fancy, huh? We get the stuff first. Curtis Salgado and Alan Hager. Album is Rough Cut, and I played I Want My Dog to Live Longer. And I think all us dog... Oh, my God, what? Are you dog people here?
We were literally just having that same conversation about how pets don't live long enough not more than 1 minute ago.
Whoa. We literally were, yes.
Wow. This is really cosmic, folks, because these two people who did know each other before and both come from Cannon Beach. However, they're not here for the same interview, so I'm taking Liz off the mic. There. But she did just break her virginity, so she gets credit for that. So, because I forgot to mention that my last guests, I told you about Derek, I forgot to mention that Katrina, I didn't realize it because she's been doing so much theater, Katrina was a virgin. And so today we have two virgins and two non-virgins on the air.
An old hat. I'm an old hat.
An old hat. I don't know about the hat part. And you're not very old either, so sorry. You don't fit. However, you're the one who's here because for whom I'm playing the music, because you are from the Cannon Beach Arts Association, and together with the Fly Me to the Moon Foundation, which is an Oregon Music Hall of Fame project, you are putting on a music festival October 3rd to 13th.
We are.
It's huge.
It is. It's a huge project. It's kind of ballooned in scope. So we received a grant from the Cannon Beach Tourism and Arts Commission in 2018 for the music festival to take place. And we originally were partnering with the Manzanita Music Festival, but decided to call this the North Coast Music Fest. So it takes place over the first two weekends in October. First weekend is in Cannon Beach, second weekend is in Manzanita and Halem.
I see. Yeah. I was wondering about that because I saw some of the concerts are at NCRD.
They are. So the Nehalem and Manzanita series is part of the Fly Me to the Moon Foundation, which is a nonprofit whose mission is to get music into senior centers across Oregon. So it's a really lovely program.
Wow.
And then our nonprofit, the Cannon Beach Arts Association, supports the arts and artists in and around Cannon Beach. So all the proceeds for the Cannon Beach music events will support our arts education program.
This is wonderful.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And we have a few more grants that are potentially coming in. Very excited about that. But it is a ticketed event, so we're hoping to raise some money for it.
Okay. So first week in Cannon Beach, second week in Manzanita. First, let's just tell people how they can see the overview. Where should they go?
Absolutely. So we have a website at Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N, Beach, B-E-A-C-H, Arts, A-R-T-S, .org. And the very top left link will say Music Festival. If you click on that, you can get all of the events, and each ticket for the event is sold separately, so you don't have to go to the whole thing if you don't have time.
But you can you buy a whole?
You can buy whole packages for the Nehalem, the Nehalem and Manzanita works. Mm-hmm. We decided at Cannon Beach not to do that because it would potentially prevent people from being able to attend the events.
Right.
So we want to make it as open as possible.
Right. Well, I was very impressed. But I don't have a printer, so I was trying to see this online, and I just kind of, oh, my God. Oh, look at that. Oh.
It's
so
great.
Why don't you tell folks who all is coming, and then they can check it out. Is there also a phone number where people
Absolutely.
Can get some?
You can call the gallery at 503-436-0744. And I also have a line at 503-277-8757. And I'm happy to answer questions as they come up.
And I am speaking to Kara Miko, who is the program director of the Cannon Beach Arts Association. How long have you been working there?
This will be my third year.
Yikes. And Kara definitely was a KMUN programmer.
Still at heart.
Right.
One day I'll be able to get back up here.
There you go. Well, it will still be here.
I agree.
Radio
yes.
for good.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so tell us a little bit about who all's coming.
Yes. So the first weekend in Cannon Beach, we have Curtis Salgado and Alan Hagar playing at the Cannon Beach Chamber of Commerce. And then we also have Three Leg Torso and Julie Michie and Dean Mueller playing a VIP event. And that's also at the Chamber of Commerce.
Now, are they playing together?
They're not. They're playing in the same venue. Exactly.
I couldn't see them playing together.
Yeah.
So Three Leg Torso takes up so much space, even if there's a small group of them, you know, space in the atmosphere.
Absolutely.
Julia Michi probably wants their own space. So.
Yes.
And they're a wonderful
duo.
They
are a fantastic duo. And then we also have some gallery events. So we'll have some music that's going to be by donation only. So it's technically free, but we would like people to donate a little bit. We have Trill LeBeau and A Thousand Fuegos. And then Belinda Underwood will be playing at one of our sponsoring sites at the Wine Shack. And Adams and Costello will be playing at another sponsoring site, and that's going to be at the Public Coast Brew Pub.
Okay.
And then the rest of the events are taking place in Manzanita and Nehalem. So LaRonda Steele is doing a gospel set. Dean and Julie are going to be doing a Nina Simone tribute set. And then there's a Brooks Robertson concert, and there's also a workshop. But the workshop, the finger-picking guitar style workshop, is actually almost sold out. Oh. So that one is one that you'll, if you want to participate, definitely
get on it.
Immediately. And then we're still booking a few people, but we also are going to be doing, the focus of this year's festival was healing. Music is a healing art.
Beautiful.
So I think we all need a little bit of that right now.
A lot of that.
Yes. So we're going to be opening and closing the Cannon Beach events with singing bowl workshops by two different singing bowl artists. And
beautiful.
Yeah, we're also hoping to have some local musicians playing in and around town. So it's just going to be a weekend of music. We'll have hoodies for sale. There's going to be some prizes. It'll be a lot of fun.
And benefiting whom?
So the Arts Association, it will be benefiting the Arts Association. It's also directly benefiting the musicians. So part of it is we're
good.
We're an arts association, so we support artists, and this is part of our programming. But we're also hoping to expand our education program. For the last 3 years, we've actually done Oregon Art Day in Seaside High School, and we've expanded into some of the other local Clatsop County schools. We'd like to continue to do that program, but we need funding to be able to pay staff time to manage that program.
So you actually pay your artists.
We do pay our artists.
There's a concept, isn't
right.
it, folks?
Yes, and I like to believe we pay them well. We do make sure that everybody nobody's donating for this, which is wonderful because we really want to be able to support local musicians.
So has Cannon Beach had a music festival before?
Yes and no. So we have had... we had the summer concert series. We started that. We actually were part of the group that got the bandstand to be built in Cannon Beach.
Oh, wow.
And then Tolavana Arts Colony has recently taken over the summer music concert series, which is fantastic. They do a wonderful job with that. So we've also had music in the gallery, but this is the first time where we've had a festival of this scale and size, and definitely the first time that we've tried to do it in October.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's true. So there's not a lot of outdoor stuff happening, scheduled?
Not yet. However, there's a rumor that I would love to spread, so maybe we can gain some support and momentum, is that the city of Cannon Beach is actually upgrading the bandstand with some of their parks funding to have some bigger venues. So have it support bigger acts. So what we're hoping is that once that happens, we will be able to do some outdoor things, but not until we have the space to do that.
And the bandstand is?
It's in the city park, and right now it doesn't have the capacity to handle that much of an electrical load, so they're going to do some electrical upgrades.
I see. Because there have been concerts in that park forever.
Exactly. And that was the summer concert series that I mentioned.
But it was only once whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, this, when I saw this, as a matter of fact, someone else brought it to my attention and said, what's going on at the Cannon Beach Music Festival? And I said, So I checked, of course, the Cannon Beach Arts Association. One of the beautiful things about Cannon Beach, do you know how many people there are there?
Yes. Ish. So it's around 1,600 people that are full-time residents. Yeah. And then
swells to
definitely
4,000.
Who even knows? Yeah. I mean, yeah. A million people come through the coast and just
right.
in one season.
But there are also
a
lot of people who have vacation homes
exactly.
there. So
exactly.
The one of the beautiful things is, and my next guest has the same experience, is that Cannon Beach Art Association. This is the Cannon Beach Arts Association. But let me put that in small letters. Arts associations or groups all work together. The galleries work together. I have someone coming in from the Earth and Ocean Arts Festival.
Yes, I'm really excited about
in
that.
In September, which is a whole nother fantastic festival. So Cannon Beach is a gorgeous place. We all know that. The beach is fabulous. The Haystack Rock is on most calendars when they talk about Oregon. But the arts, there have always been a lot of artists living there. I remember when Billy Hultz and Michael Burgess started the Tolovana Arts Colony. Their concept, because they came in to talk about it, as far as I understood it, was we've got all these artists in Cannon Beach, and so we need to get that going so that they have something to, they can offer their work, and locals and visitors can accept their work, and people can get supported. So
exactly.
Now I see it's just everything is going, and
it's
very exciting.
Yeah, it's really a lovely collaborative environment. Everybody's really stepping up to do their part, and a lot of the nonprofits are starting to work together, including the Arts Association and the History Museum. We just received a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation do a collaboration with the History Museum. So that's pretty exciting.
Excellent. And didn't you do a function together?
We have been doing our workshops in the History Museum space for, 2 years now almost?
That makes sense.
And it's such a lovely space. People just really loved to be able to explore that. And then we find it just a really beneficial partnership.
Absolutely. Okay, folks, this is happening again October. Okay, so today is August 30th. A lot of people get August and October mixed up. No, it's almost over, August.
It is.
September is
right around
Saturday,
the corner.
Sunday, yes. I guess, Sunday. And but this is October 3rd through 13th. When you see, if you haven't already, when you see what's going on, you'll know why. You better get your tickets. I'll tell you one of the ones that caught my eye, because I'm a huge fan, is the Nina Simone.
That's going to be a wonderful concert. And that will definitely sell out.
Yes.
They sell out a lot.
I think that's October 12th.
Yes.
And that's happening at the North County Recreation District, which is NCRD in Nehalem.
Exactly.
In their lovely theater.
They have a beautiful theater.
They do, finally.
Yeah. Right.
Didn't used to be that way, whereas the coaster has always been beautiful. So.
Right.
Okay, and my guest, Kara Mika, Program Director at the Cannon Beach Arts Association, has been giving us the lowdown and the up-down, and they, together with the Fly Me to the Moon Foundation, check them out. That's an, am I right? That's an Oregon Music Hall of Fame project?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, because I'm on that mailing list for the Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, fantastic.
And you can recommend people for that, too.
Oh, beautiful.
They work with youth as well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
As do you. So, okay, so Cannon Beach Arts with an S .org. You can also call 503-436-0744. And Kara gave me another number. I'm not sure. Is that your own number?
It's my work number.
Your work number? Okay. 503-277-8757. Check it out and get your tickets.
And can I add that this weekend we're having another fundraiser. If you would like to come down to the gallery, Cannon Beach Gallery at 1064 South Hemlock in Cannon Beach, we're doing a Labor Day sale. We have a lot of donated art, some art supplies.
When is that?
It's through Monday.
It's happening right now.
And
so
it's
how
Monday.
Late does the gallery stay open?
It's open until 4, mm-hmm. although if it's busy and our volunteers or staff are there, people will stay for you. So, but this is the first year where the amount of donated artwork is a little bit overwhelming. There was a lot. So
this would be, for example, some of the artists who show there and they're overwhelmed in their own homes. So
yeah, we
donate.
Do have some of that. Yes. We had a couple of artists do that. And then others are people who have too much art in their own personal collection and they wanted to donate work that they've already
purchased.
I wish
I'd known about this. Yeah.
I know.
This is great.
It's the third year we've done it, and it also raises money for our arts education program.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. That's this weekend and...
through Monday. Yeah.
Through Monday. And it's till 4, 11 to 4?
11 to 4, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put on a little bit of music from another one of my favorites. That would be, of course, Three Leg Torso. And we've got The Last Dream. We're listening to Three Leg Torso from Animals and Cannibals, and this is The Last Dream. And I want to send this out to our good friend Susan and her family with our deepest love. So, my last guest is right here, but you've already met her, except And she already lost her virginity, so what's the fun of that? Hi, Liz.
Hey, Carol. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Liz Johnson is the outreach coordinator. We're going to let her tell us what that even means, because that's an unusual term, for the Cannon Beach History Center and Museum. And we were just talking about the collaborations that the Arts Association and the History Center and Museum. Is it okay to just call it the History Museum?
Yeah, you can call it the History Museum or the Cannon Beach Museum.
Okay. Okay. Is it the only museum in Cannon Beach?
Well, we have the only History Museum. There's also the Nursing Museum.
Oh, that's
as
right.
Well,
that's right. Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. And you know what? I started the show with a song about hospital workers on for Labor Day.
Wow.
So, hey. Hi, Cannon Beach is happening right here.
It really
here.
Is.
So Liz is here because very soon, September 13th to 15th, so that's in a couple of weeks, is the Cannon Beach Cottage Tour. And this is not the first cottage. What is it, the third?
It's not. No. It's actually the 16th
16?
Year.
16?
Yes.
Where did I get three from? Jeez. Lordy. Definitely. Old timers here. Okay. So what is it? First of all, who are you? What's an outreach coordinator?
Sure.
And then tell us what the Cannon Beach Cottage Tour is.
Absolutely. So as an outreach coordinator, I do a lot of outreach in the community. So I go to a lot of events. I talk to people, get them to support the museum. I work with our members and our volunteers. So doing a lot of the outreach work. And the cottage tour is kind of like my baby.
Oh, really?
So I work with all the homeowners of the tour and the volunteers. So the cottage tour it's the museum's annual fundraiser. It provides a large portion of our annual operating budget income, and it's a home tour. So it's a tour of homes throughout Cannon Beach. When it started, it was just a home tour, and there's about 30 people or so that went on the tour. Now we have over 500 people that go on.
No way.
Yes, it's a big event.
Just a second. How many homes are involved?
We have about 10 homes. We also feature a garden or two. We do wine tasting during the tour. We'll have tea tasting during the tour. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We really try to make it really fun for people. We feature mm-hmm. historic cottages, beach dream homes, architectural wonders. So we feature a little bit of everything that gives you a taste of what it's like to live in Cannon Beach.
Which it would be amazingly interesting to a lot of people to get inside some of these rather unusual structures.
Yes.
So, now, obviously, from looking at you, I can say you said it's your baby, but you weren't around to make it happen 16 years ago.
No, I wasn't.
You yourself were probably close to a baby at the time. So
definitely half the age for sure.
So do you know how it started?
Yeah, so there was a book written about the cottages called Cannon Beach Cottages by Jill Grady, and that kind of sparked the idea of this home tour. So Jill Grady, along with Connie Crow and a couple of other board members, decided to formulate this tour, and it just kind of took off. And then ever since then, it's just grown.
So are you repeating a lot of the houses? You have to. There aren't that many houses.
We try not to repeat if we can help it, but we usually at least wait quite a few years mm-hmm. before we repeat a home.
Right. But some of them are probably so unusual and attractive that
yes,
people appreciate being able to.
They do.
So does the. Now, there are a number of home tours these days.
There are.
It has become popular. And it's an interesting concept because being able to go inside someone's home, that means that they're a much better housekeeper than I'll ever be. Right. On the other hand, it's the homeowner is there. Is that correct?
Yes. The homeowners are there, and they like to be there so they can, you know, talk
answer
to
questions.
The people that come, the visitors that come in, and they're really proud. They're really proud to be a part of the tour. So having them there is a really important, integral part of the tour.
Do you think, I know, for example, with the Fisher Poets Gathering in Astoria, there are fishers who started writing poetry because of the Fisher Poets Gathering, because it's such a fabulous event, they mm-hmm. got inspired. Do you think that there are some people who started looking at their own homes in a way saying, you know, I never thought of it, but yeah, I've got a pretty special place. Let's see, maybe I'll hang some more art or...
Yes, absolutely. We've had people approach us that have been inspired by the tour and have had artwork from going on the tour. They've been able to feature artwork from different houses that were on the tour. We've had people that have been going since the very beginning, have had a woman that had a photo book. She was going on the tour from when it started, and she brought in the book last year and showed me all the pictures from when she went on the tour.
Oh, that's great.
And so people, we have people that come from all over the U.S. to go on this tour because they really enjoy it. And not many home tours take place right in front of the Pacific Ocean with Haystack Rock in view.
Right, and Cannon Beach is a very special place right there on the beach. So do you still have some tickets available?
We do. So we have the whole weekend
prices, but you can give the...
Absolutely. Yeah. So we do... So Friday night the 13th, we do a concert, kind of like a kickoff concert, and that's featuring Dimitri Matheny.
Oh, yes.
And he's a wonderful jazz musician. He's played at the museum mm-hmm. before. And that we have plenty of tickets still available for that.
This is September, folks.
September
13th. So it's not
13th. Far off. No, it's in fact tomorrow. We're about two weeks out.
Exactly.
And then Saturday is our big day. So we have a luncheon and lecture at the Tullivanna Hall, which is part of the Tullivanna Arts Colony. So that's just about sold out. In fact, we have a...
Who's making lunch?
Dodo Bakery will be catering this year, the bakery in Seaside. They're really wonderful, mm-hmm. so they'll be catering. The speaker for that event is Janet Eastman. She's a reporter for The Oregonian. Mm-hmm. She writes for the Home and Garden section. So she'll be talking about the evolution of the Cannon Beach Cottage and how times are changing with that.
I just want to point out that even though this is Cannon Beach, they have invited the Seaside Bakery in, which is a good thing because there have been rivalries between Seaside and Cannon Beach. So nice to see people coming together.
And they're a wonderful bakery. They're so great to work with. And so that's about sold out. And I'll tell you where to get tickets for all of that. The home tour is on Saturday as well, September 14th, and that goes from noon to 5. And we have tickets available even on the day of. Mm-hmm. We'll cut mm-hmm. ticket sales off about 2:00, so you can still purchase your tickets. And that is the tour of homes. You'll get your map the day right when it starts, so we don't give out the map any sooner.
That's cool, so people don't really know which houses.
It's a surprise, and it also protects the homeowners. Yeah. Yeah. You know, privacy, all that good mm-hmm. stuff. So that will go from noon to 5. And then following the tour we have a concert and reception at the museum. And that's included in your home tour ticket.
And who's the
And we
concert?
Have Julia Michi.
Okay.
The Julia Michi duo will be performing.
They're wonderful.
Yes.
They've been on the show too, so.
Yeah, we're really excited to have them.
Yeah.
So they'll be great. And then on Sunday, September 15th, we have an English-style garden tea. So it's like a high tea. We'll have the tiered plates and everything, all of the goodies. Dodo Bakery will be catering that as mm-hmm. well. And we have Jennifer Bell will be the speaker for that. And she's a local. She works, I've got it here. At the Lewis and Clark National Historic Park. Mm-hmm. So she'll be talking about native plants and all of that. And that is almost sold out as well.
Ooh.
So
where now people are sitting saying, wait a minute, it's all sold out. Where do I go to get
so? You can go to the museum's website. Our website is cbhistory.org. Okay. And we have a link at the top of the page under gift shop, and you can purchase your tickets there, and you can purchase individually.
Is the museum going to be open that weekend?
Yes. So we're actually, we'll be open since that's where people will get their tickets
uh-huh.
and get their maps. People can also give us a call as well. Our number is 503-436-9301 or they can come into the museum during our open hours, which were open 11 to 4, 6 days a week, closed on Tuesday. So, yeah, we we're beginning on Monday, we're beginning our off-season hours, so...
11 to 4.
11 to 4.
Wait a minute. What were your in-season hours?
7 days a week, 11 to 5.
Holy cow. Yeah. That's terrific. Good for you. Yeah. I just want to put a plug in. This is a wonderful museum. I haven't done the cottage tour, but I have gone to the museum a number of times for art shows, for quilt shows, for music presentations, and it's a there's stuff to look at and learn from at all times. And then, of course, when there's something special going on, it's really terrific. Oh, Liz, how long have you been working there?
I've been there 6.5 years.
You have?
So,
you
yes.
are older than you look. Okay.
I'm 34.
Oh, my. Okay.
See, Not that I should say that on the radio, but you know.
That's okay. We don't mind. Okay. Hey, thank you so much for coming in. A shout out to Elaine. And I'm delighted the Cannon Beach History Center and Museum, Cannon Beach Cottage Tour, September 13 to 15. Go to cbhistory.org. Couldn't be simpler. And I just also, I'm going to add this because we're just about out of time, but I think this is so delightful. In October and November, the museum will be featuring the OMG textile exhibit. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
That's great. Great. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in. Liz Johnson, my guest, the outreach coordinator for the Cannon Beach Museum.
Thanks so much, Carol.
Okay. Thanks. And you are listening to KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And with a little bit of three-leg torso with one of their outrageous tunes behind us, the Freilach. Let me tell you a few things, just a few things that are going on. Of course, we heard about the Liberty Readers, Liberty Players going on tonight. Last night for Harold Pinter's Betrayal. And Astor Street Opry Company till September 14th. And the Coaster Theater, this is their last weekend. Nonsense Tonight, and then there were None Saturday Night. They're at 7:30. The others are at 7. Cannon Beach Gallery, it's about over now for today, but it's Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And then the Hoffman Gallery show is up until September 1st. Paintings and Ceramic, with a shout-out to Ben. Labor Temple tonight has Disco Temple at 8. Troll Radio Review is tomorrow morning. That's live radio at the Fort George Brewery outside. And that is going to be Andrew Conrad, Dinah Urell and Friends, and, of course, the Troll Radio House Band. The Peninsula Performing Arts Center is featuring Red Ray Fraser and Matt Brown. Fantastic. And then Wednesday, the Hackles, our very own Kate and Luke and Katie. And also, here's an interesting one, Turtles Guitar Mafia. That'd be Turtle Vandemar and from the Dan and the Hot Licks. And they are going to be two places on Saturday, tomorrow. Now, Halen Bay Winery from 1 to 4, and the Manzanita Lighthouse, 7:30 to 10:30. And then Liberty, tomorrow night, has a Grease sing-along. That's the show Grease. And on Sunday, Rhythm Method is at the Halen Winery. On Tuesday, they'll be at the Cannon Beach Farmers Market. And there is a house concert in Oysterville on Sunday. Call me if you want more information. And the Labyrinth is at Grace Church from 3 to 6. Monday, Sedona Fire Band is in Manzanita at the Little Apple from 12 to 2. And the North Coast Big Band is in Clatskanie. And folks, that is just a smidgen of what's going on in this incredible area of ours. I'm not sure when they're happening, but these Irish dance competitions sure sounds like fun. So check that out as well. Do stay tuned. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Or tune in on an app with something. Put KMUN and find us. Don't forget, we have a pledge drive coming up in just a week or two. And yeah, I'll be looking for you to be calling in. Thanks so much. Carol signing off.